Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to Him forever. Welcome to our kitchen table.
Alright, so last week we finished the first chapter of this book, The Path of Salvation by St. Theophano Reclus. And today we are going on chapter 2. And the subtitle is The Chief Activities of the Body, Soul, and Spirit. And a sub-chapter would be Directing the Developing Powers of the Soul and Body. And today we'll be focusing on theme section of this book, which is in relation to food. Well, why don't you start? Okay. What's going to happen here is a little bit different, since he divides this first part of the chapter into three major things, that we will just read the first major thing and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, okay, sounds good. Directing the developing powers of the soul and body. First of all, the needs of the body are aroused and then are in constant state of living activity until death itself. It is all the more essential to place them within their proper bounds and to strengthen them with the force of habit so that later there will be less disturbance from them. The first requirement for bodily life is food. With relation to morality, this is the seat of the passion for sinful enjoyment of the flesh, or the arena for its development and nourishment. Therefore, one must feed the child in such a way that in developing the life of the body, furnishing him strength and health, one will not ignite the soul of the pleasing of the flesh. One should not consider that the child is small and therefore in no need of such concern. From the very first years, one must begin to restrain the flesh, which is inclined to crude materiality, and train the child to become master of it, so that in adolescence and youth, and in the years thereafter, he might easily and freely be in control of this need. The first attempt made is very precious. Much that happens subsequently depends on the feeding of the child. Without noticing it, one can develop in him the love of pleasure and immoderation in food. The two forms of the sin of gluttony, the two inclinations bound up with eating that are so ruinous for the body and the soul. Therefore, even physicians and teachers advise, 1, to select a healthful and suitable food, depending on the age of the child, for one food is suitable for an infant, another for a child, yet another for an adolescent and a young man. 2, to subject the use of food to definite rules, again adapted to age, in which there should be defined the time, the quantity, and the means of eating. And 3, not to depart later from this established rule without need. By these means, the child is trained not to demand food always whenever he wants to eat, but to wait for the assigned time. Here are to be found the first attempts at exercising oneself in denying oneself one's desires. When a child is fed every time he cries and then every time he asks to eat, he is so weakened by this that later he cannot refuse food except with great pain. At the same time, this accustoms him to getting his own will because he succeeds in getting whatever he asks for or cries for. Sleep also should be subjected to the same kind of measure, as should warmth and cold, and other comforts which are necessary in one's upbringing, having unfailingly in mind not to ignite the passion for sensual enjoyments and to train one to deny oneself. This should be strictly observed during the whole time of the upbringing of the child, changing the rules, it goes without saying, in their application to circumstances and age, but not in essence until the child, being firmly established in them, will take himself in hand.
Wow. That's beautiful, beautiful subsection, and very important nowadays in today's times. I can't even imagine when he was writing it of what foods of he was thinking of. No, I'm serious.
I know.
What is it, 1800s?
Yeah.
That he was living in, and I wonder what he would tell us now.
Oh my gosh, don't even want to know.
Eat eggs and grass. Mm-hmm. No, but when you were reading this, I was going back a little bit. So since there is a new liturgical year from September 1st, Sarah and I and the kids, we decided to dedicate this whole church year, dedicate ourselves to a patron saint. And that saint is Saint Ignatius Bianchanino. Both Sarah and I are reading his works. And today I was reading something beautiful from his book, from Arena, chapter 7. And he quoted Saint Barsanulfius the Great. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but Saint Barsanulfius says, "For unless a man dies to the flesh and lives in the spirit, his soul cannot rise. Just as in a corpse there are no natural desires whatever, so too there are none in a person who is spiritually dead to the flesh. If you have died to the flesh, now how can natural desires live in you? But if you have not attained this measure of spirituality and are mentally still in your infancy, humble yourself before the teacher, and that he may chasten you with mercy." When you read this first paragraph, I thought of this quote, because really, in order to deal with gluttony, well, sin of gluttony, you really have to go to the extreme, and that's really very, very difficult part to achieve,
mm-hmm.
because as Saint Barsanulfius says, says that. We have to literally deaden ourselves like a corpse in order not to have any desires, which is so difficult.
Yeah. That's difficult, and also to when you already have those habits, like us as adults, and we already have those habits and trying to break those habits, you can wake up in the morning and want to have that desire to like completely shut off your will for that sinful passion, and then like breakfast comes and you totally forget what you're trying to do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you get a full breakfast,
you know.
Yeah,
and like through the whole day it's like I had it written on the board, you should feel hungry after every meal.
Mm-hmm.
And
where did you get it from?
Your dad.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, I was listening to The Field, Rantaninov. I was listening to his podcast, and It was like a 5-minute segment that I was listening to, and it was rapid fire wisdom, just boom, boom, boom. And the one thing that stuck out to me so much is you should be a little bit hungry after you finish eating a meal. And never am I like that. And
stop cooking so good.
Gosh. It's, well, anyhow.
No.
I just wanted to add
But
that
it's, it's, it's fascinating that he's starting with the belly. And not just that, I mean, many saints and holy fathers start in this way too.
Mm-hmm.
But that he starts with children.
Yeah.
You know, if you tell me as an adult, all right, yeah, I get it, this is spiritual life, but what he's trying to tell us here is that you have to consider children from infancy.
Mm-hmm. Their habits that you instill in them.
Their habits that you have to still instill in them, and yeah, I think it's two ways. First way is to really teach them when to eat. And second thing is for them to see the parents when they eat and how they eat.
Mm-hmm.
If they see us snacking, which I'm a huge snacker, then of course Miron and Amelia are going to be wanting to be snacking too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's this like primary and secondary reason or way how we can somehow fix the children.
Mm-hmm.
Not fix the children, but show them the proper way how to go a better way.
Yeah. I have underlined in the first paragraph, it's all the more essential to place them within their proper bounds and to strengthen them with the force of habit. And I am a huge advocate for habit and routine, mm-hmm. and you know this, and it's probably really annoying for you, but it's for my life, it's been life-changing, mm. to know and understand what's coming when, and not that we have to rely on that, and that we're gonna be in some kind of
rigid
fuss if it's not that way, but that they understand when we wake up in the morning, we do a certain thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we come for breakfast, and we sit down as a family for breakfast. We usually don't have lunch together, but I mean with you anyhow. But that at 8:30 or 9 o'clock we have breakfast. At 8:30 usually we have breakfast. At 12:30 we have lunch around that time, and then at 5:30 we have dinner.
Yeah.
And it is almost always exactly like that. And that's that little bit of habit is teaching them. I think. We are unintentionally doing this, but I'm
sure.
grateful that we are. We agreed on this even before we were married, that we wanted to sit.
I was just pushing for a dinner, family dinner.
Well, but thank the Lord that we're...
But I want a dinner, and you are natural. You like breakfasts.
Yeah.
you're a breakfast person, so it kind of figure out for us that both sides are satisfied.
Yeah.
But you're right. And at the same time, what happens before they... eat breakfast, they pray.
Yeah, we go to prayer and...
We pray,
mm-hmm.
eat breakfast.
Yep. Unless it... Like, again, unless we have liturgy in the morning, or unless you or I have a really early appointment or something, and, you know, it's just that morning happens to be a little bit different. But my point is that they know when mealtime is coming, and they usually get a snack in between those meals. And, some days, like... Some days are different than others. Like these last couple of days, Amelia has been really sick and has had a fever and stuff, and it's not been good.
Just peeing.
Hopefully that. I mean, she's better now, but it's been like 3 days of really rough. But it's been extra snacks because they're. she's especially whiny and needy and wanting, you know, just extra
helped.
Attention. Yeah, and maybe that is something that it's hard because like should I or should I not be giving her like an extra graham cracker or something because
probably not.
She's one though,
yeah.
You know, that's my thing.
But that one will be telling you though.
I know.
Let her suffer. A
oh
bit.
Gosh, that's the thing. But
yeah.
But you don't want to see them suffer. It's hard, you
it
know.
It's hard. But then you're doing them disservice because every time they cry.
Yeah.
It's like let's get them food.
Or we're just doing it to like shut them up for
a
hot second, which I am also guilty of, and I'm sorry for admitting that, but
you know, it reminds me that meme of like first baby mom, she like prepares snacks.
Oh, like a first time mom
mm-hmm. she prepares snacks nicely, neatly. Then second child comes and she's still trying, and then when the third baby comes she just throws the snacks on the floor and runs away. Like they're like children come like chickens.
That's
snacks.
Me with
that,
only two.
that is me too, because they do get crazy sometimes,
but that's okay. And so like maybe like for sure that's something that I am going to diligently work on after we've read this chapter, because it's even read this section.
So maybe what would be better is just to limit how much snacks.
Yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm. And just like a snack between those meals and
rather than continual.
Yeah, exactly.
Snack until lunch.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need lunch.
Well, and you know what I've noticed too, when we this is super off topic, but I've noticed like if we go outside and they're playing around, they don't care about having a snack. If they're inside and I'm trying to cook or I'm doing something in the kitchen or whatever, then they're whining about something and they want a snack, you know. So it's their environment too, and keeping busy and stuff. So I'm
sure. Well, it depends. When they play in the living room, they're good.
Right.
And I think once Amelia is safe to go up and down the stairs,
yeah, they'll have run of the house.
I think the snacking problem will be.
That's true. Yeah.
More solved, but yeah, maybe we can just limit the snacks or how much we give them rather than just continual snacking.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Well, good. I'm glad that we are
reading this. I'm glad we share it with the whole world. Game time. All right. I think on the next page, I really am fascinated by these 3 points that he says. To select the healthful and suitable foods depending on the age of the child. For food is suitable for infant, another for child, yet for another for adults and young men. It's really beautiful advice that he gives.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to have crap ton snacks in your house to satisfy all kinds of needs.
Right.
You know, have that one thing that they like or two, and that's it.
Right.
And we went through that process. I remember us buying all kinds of cereal and snacks and everything, and then we came to our senses.
Yeah. Well, to see kind of what they like, I guess,
sure.
And what would be a good snack, but... Like, so many times they love homemade stuff, and it's stuff that I enjoy making, and it is more healthful, and it's more, we know what's going into it. It's not just these packaged crap processed food that we couldn't just buy at the store, but I think maybe that's part of the, like, entire package of love as a parent is, yes, it takes a little bit of extra work, but you're giving them something way more sustainable and way more beneficial to their health.
Unless they eat it one day and the second day you try to do the same thing.
Let's not talk about that.
To subject their use of food, to define rules in which there should be a defined time and quantity
and the means of eating.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up something a little bit about this, and I think that it also goes back to the going into the force of habit, and I'm going to preface this with saying this is in absolute zero judgment zero judgment of and in no pride from us, but we have...
It's more like observation.
Sure, but I mean, and something that has actually been a little bit difficult, but it's something that I'm adamant about, and that is no snacks in church. And again, believe me, I get it, okay? I would be giving my kids snacks in church if I really, really had to. I did one time, and it's when I had to canter with both kids, and it was craziness, okay? But...
Okay, the aftermath...
Oh, gosh.
After, like, going upstairs to the choir loft, and they were caged.
They were in a large play area.
They were caged, and it was just... everywhere.
Chaos in there. But anyways, I even though sometimes I totally forget to take out the snacks from the diaper bag or something before liturgy starts, and Miron happens to be going through the diaper bag or something during liturgy, snack! And he starts to crinkle something or open a package or something. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no snacks.
Mm-hmm.
We are in church. You do not eat snacks in church.
Yeah.
And I think more than anything, I'm just trying my best to limit it so they, even as young children, when they are more aware, that they don't just think that that's a normal thing.
Right.
Because as adults, we should be fasting at least an hour before liturgy. But
That's from, like, cough drops, too.
Yes, like, from everything. And but, I mean, even from the previous night would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So, like...
Well, if you... Oh, forgive me. Go ahead. Go for it.
Just hold your thought for a second. but it's teaching them, and it has proven to me that it's taught them that, yes, I can go 1 hour without having anything to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's proven to me that it's possible that they can go 1 hour without anything to eat.
Sure.
Now, we feed them breakfast before liturgy, and that means I have to get up a little bit earlier than I normally would in order to get them ready, feed them breakfast, and go to church. It's fine. It's normal. It's one day a week. Okay? But it has, I know that they can survive.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
They can. And there are two thoughts. Oh, boy.
Oh,
two thoughts.
Squirrel.
The first one is that I saw a couple of days ago that you changed your diaper bag. We have two diaper bags. One is packed with literally everything.
Underwear, clothes, snacks.
Even the kitchen sink.
Diapers.
And the second one that you carry to church is just very basic stuff.
Yeah, books.
A couple of toys, books,
yeah.
Diapers.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Maybe waters. I don't know.
I don't even bring water.
No waters, okay. So, but like, it's like a nice trick for the kids too. They're like, all right, you bring the bag, but if
yeah.
they go through the bag, there are no snacks.
Right.
So it's quite genius for it from your point. And since we're talking about Eucharist and fasting, I think it's in the publican, or maybe in my other prayer book. It is said that if you do the canon preparation for communion, it's done night before.
Mm.
So you fast from night before.
Yeah.
And then when you go morning for liturgy, you're fasted for at least 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's an ideal.
Yeah.
Because then you are really hungry. And to put Christ first in your mouth and be filled with him
mm-hmm.
first, it's a quite a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. And as, I mean, just speaking for us as adults
mm-hmm.
and children aside right now, but as we read in the Fathers too, is the, you can't pray if you have a full stomach.
No.
There's no praying. What? Oh boy.
Remember Father David sending me a message. No fried food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember. Gosh. Well, anyways, can't pray if you have a full stomach. And
yep.
But I'm just hopeful that we are teaching them a little bit of sacrifice as at a young age
sure.
can continue to grow. And I think that that's his point.
And it is his point. And I think it would be good for you, our listeners, to... I'm not saying that you should, but if you want to test it out,
mm-hmm.
you know, go to eat a burger an hour before liturgy,
mm-hmm.
and then go to liturgy, and you will see that all you want to do is sit and not pray and just put your feet up.
Yeah.
But if you are fasting for more than an hour from water and food, you're energized.
Yeah, you're more attentive.
You're attentive,
mm-hmm.
you're praying, you are listening. Gospel sticks in your heart for a little bit longer than usual. Anyways, but if this kind of experiment is necessary for us to realize that, all right, well, if those little nuances
mm-hmm.
are doing to me, like changing my way how I perceive things, then how is it for my children?
Right.
And I truly believe, it's been proven to me from my adult life, that young children see things in church.
Oh my gosh.
They see things in church, and...
Yeah, they do.
Why?
Amelia was waving at the ceiling the other day.
Last Sunday.
It was amazing. I was like, stop, what are you doing? It was so... not stop, but like, what do you see?
Sure.
Yeah.
And at least handful of our friends' kids that we grew up with, they
laugh, giggle.
I remember when we were putting icon of that was the most like visible
mm-hmm.
is when we put a icon of Christ at St. Nicholas Church,
mm-hmm.
and my godson Elijah was running. He was young, maybe not even two.
Yeah,
he was just about walking. And he was walking around in front of the icon screen up and down, and then suddenly he stopped. He looked at the icon of Christ, and he like giggled.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, "All right, what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
What's happening there?"
Yeah.
And that opened my eyes a little bit more, but don't, let's not deprive our children of the beauty that they can see.
Mm-hmm.
It might be difficult for them, but they live.
They will learn and they will live. You're right. Yeah, they will. They will. I just read something.
Go for it.
By these means, the child is trained not to demand food always whenever he wants to eat, but to wait for the assigned time.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this is going back to the to me having snacks in my diaper bag. Okay. And
Snack. Yeah.
There was one situation where I was in the cry room with them, and I just, Miron found the snacks and I put them up on a bookshelf, but he could still like see the top of the snacks, you know what I mean? And so anytime we would go, and I've like forgotten to take them back off of the shelf for a week or two, and so anytime we would go back to the cry room, snack, snack, he remembered and he could see it, you know? And I'm kicking myself because I forgot to take the stinking snacks out of there.
The whole energy's pain.
Well, no, the whole energy wasn't the pain, but because, and like, this is what it says, by these means the child is trained not to demand food always whenever he wants to eat. I was like, too bad, little dude, you are not eating right now. We are in liturgy.
Yeah.
And now he just doesn't ask for snacks when we're in liturgy.
Yeah.
Like, he's 2 years old, and I hope that we have, yes, I think if a snack was placed in front of him, he would of course eat
it. Absolutely. But
he doesn't just assume that if there is like a package of something somewhere that he gets to have it.
Yeah.
So I'm,
or that he goes to church and it's like snack time.
Yeah. I'm thankful for that.
Yeah.
I really am. But I have to say this 100 times over. I get it. Like, I am not sitting in judgment of any person that gives their kids snacks in church, because it is so hard
to have
little children in church. And sometimes that's just what you need.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
I was actually thinking about if you were coming to my other church, you would have to give them snacks just because we don't have cry room.
I don't have enough arms because both of them are runners now. Oh. Like, I don't know what I would even do.
Yeah. So like you would have to
find a way to keep them contained.
Sure.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
So anyways.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, use the cry room if that's the way how you wanna show your kids not to eat, then go for it.
Right.
That's why it's there.
Mm-hmm. I try not to live back there, but some days it's just like
literally, you are a single mom for every Sunday and every feast day.
Yeah,
so
it's true. I need to like grow a third arm.
Yeah,
I can hold both of them at the same time.
Or we can just train your own to serve.
Yeah, that would be better.
This is interesting too. When the child is fed every time he cries, and then every time he asks to eat, he is so weakened by this that later he cannot refuse food, except with great pain. Basically what we were saying about snacking throughout the day.
But that's like literally me.
Yeah, me too. At the same time, this accustoms him to getting his own will, because he succeeds in getting whatever he asks for or cries for.
Yeah.
And this is much, much bigger danger than anything else.
For sure.
Getting his own will.
But it's not just for food. It's getting whatever you want because you cry for it.
Right,
yeah.
But it starts with, obviously it starts with food,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah.
If you're accustomed to getting food every time you cry or beg for it, then later in life, you know, you will treat yourself because you have your own will and not God's will within you.
Right.
And it's very dangerous.
Yeah.
It's quite great sentence right there.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I had a thought and it just like went right out of my head. Literally, as soon as I said that, a cricket chirped outside. Oh, shoot.
She was not in your head?
Yeah. At the same time, this accustoms him to getting his own will because he succeeds in getting whatever he asks for or cries for. Man, oh man. But you're right. It's it that would definitely lead to thinking as an adult, I like deserve to have this to make myself feel this way or that way. And that is
treat yourself.
Yeah, that's how a lot of food is eaten.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
as in pleasure or in healing some kind of wound or, you know, something
yeah.
like that. And man, if we were talking about this, if we could, we struggle with this a lot. And if we can heal those things in our children before they are old,
mm-hmm.
then they don't have to root it out now.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I mean, like, it's not like we're eating six pizzas in a day or something, but like our but I don't want them to have to struggle with
right.
this. And it will, and so many passions of the flesh come from your stomach.
Yeah.
And if we can help root this out while they're little, they are going to have a much simpler and much more deep prayer life and life with God in so many ways that I can't even fathom,
yeah.
that we're just learning about now. And
yeah.
if they can have that from the beginning of their life,
mm-hmm.
it will be life-changing to
yeah.
them.
And while you're saying this, without notice, what St. Theophan says, is that noticing it, one can develop in him the love of pleasure and immoderation in food, the two forms of the sin of gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
The two inclinations bound up with eating that are so ruinous for the body and the soul. Well, there you say.
Yeah, love of
sin
pleasure and immoderation in food.
Exactly.
Wow.
That's literally what you said. And yeah, it's, if we can help to root out, I mean, obviously we're not going to make saints, but if they don't have to struggle as much,
mm-hmm.
then I think it's worth of a fight.
Yeah. Oh, well, something I did want to say
mm-hmm.
is that this is probably a very unpopular opinion among a lot of people, like to deny your children something or to teach them to deny oneself or not to have self-will. It is a hugely unpopular thing. And I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, but I want people to know we're not like starving our kids. We're just trying to teach them teach them these small tricks.
Sure. Quality or quantity.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, homemade bread versus bought bread.
Yeah, well, I mean, that doesn't
no,
matter.
But
yeah,
I mean,
simple
examples that
yeah.
that you do on a weekly basis.
Right.
You know, that you know, and they enjoy eating your bread.
Yeah.
Well, the last paragraph, which is connected. A sleep also should be subjected to the same kind of measure as should warmth and cold and other comforts which are necessary in one's upbringing, having unfailingly in mind not to ignite the passion for sensual enjoyments and to train one to deny oneself.
Yeah. That's the big part.
Well, we are turning off the AC tonight.
Oh, please, no.
I'll be fine.
No, you wouldn't. Don't even pretend. Don't even pretend.
Okay. Person who runs the AC cold and has like 20 blankets on top of the bed. But it's connected. Sleep, we get sleepy when we eat too much.
Yeah, very true.
You know, when sleep is connected to the food.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, if we eat heavy foods, pizza, wings, and other stuff, the next day we feel heavy.
Mm-hmm.
We're bloated. So it's better not. I'm saying this because I was going to have wings tonight. And St. Theophan literally ruined this for me.
Thank God. It's probably saving grace.
It is. But then I wanted to go get those wings. No. Well, I don't have anything else to say for this.
I don't either.
We said a lot.
Sorry. maybe too much, but...
No, it's okay. But it is necessary. And I think more than anything, it starts with us. You know, if we train ourselves and if we uproot the passions of belly passions, then we can teach our children those tricks.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of difficult to show your kid, like, hey, you should be not eating, but yet...
Shoving your face.
I'm shoving my face with crackers or something.
Yeah.
So it has to go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Nothing, this is just funny.
Still thinking about those wings.
I know.
All right, well, thanks for joining us. Have a wonderful evening or day or afternoon. And we will see you next Sunday. God bless you. Through the prayers of our Holy Fathers, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us. Amen.